Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Questions I'd like to know. Restoration cost, if it was just the plane that's there now?
I believe on the order of $750,000. Is that ballpark, Stephen?
Where did that one come from? Was it given? Was it donated? How did it get there?
So there's a, if you check the news, there's a 2018 article actually in the PNJ that talks about what are we going to do with the restoration of this aircraft. Years ago, we actually reached out, Joe and his team, and actually acquired quotes and estimates to be able to do a full restoration. The cost of the time came in at over $250,000 for the restoration of the T-28.
So that's the plane that's out front of Milton High School. This is Stephen Prestesater talking with, I believe it's Larry McKee, City Councilman Larry McKee, and then Sherry Sebastio, a former city councilwoman, about the cost to just give me all the numbers, right? Because the city of Milton has had this social media post up now for, what, about a week, I guess, where they've been saying, pick options, A, B, or C, what you want to have happen. The T-28 is a plane that's there now. It needs to be refurbished, and it, of course, needs to be always maintained. And there's a very expensive, like, if you really want to put it in its proper shape, somewhere, we don't really know the price, okay? The old quote from 7 years ago, 8 years ago, was like $250,000, and there are reasons that it's so expensive we'll get to in just a second. But the three options, because they've had a TH-57 donated from Whiting. That's the retired Sea Ranger that used to do the training there. And then they recently upgraded to the TH-73. That's the Leonardo helicopter. That's the Thrasher. And so they've got this one that is, they all, any old retired aircraft belong to the Naval Aviation Museum. And this one, the city of Milton is looking to put on the pedestal where the current plane is, the 28. That's one proposal. One proposal is to keep it how it is. John's favorite. Well, not John's favorite. That's one of his favorites.
No, that's, yeah.
No, there's another one you like even better. The second proposal is to put the 57 in the place of the 28, the helicopter in place of the plane. And the third proposal is to keep the plane and then to add the helicopter, like, down by the Blackwater at the Veterans Memorial Park somewhere else in town. So now you have two instead of one. Expensive things to maintain.
No, that's the best idea.
But that's the one you like because it doesn't disrupt what you've known for all of this time, which is, I think, a very understandable reaction is we've always had the plane. Why can't we keep the plane? It's a part of our identity. And I don't know the answer why you can't put the 57 like at the other end of the high school. You know, maybe
there's not enough room.
The anchor is up there too, right? Yeah. Isn't that the other end? Okay, so, all right, so Stephen Prestesater, again, is going to explain some of the problems, challenges, costs.
The biggest issue that we face, and I spoke with Councilman Leek about this in depth, is that actually there's still toxic paint. The original paint is still on the aircraft, which makes it extremely difficult for us to be able to work on it. So that is really ultimately our biggest problem. So costs obviously are going to be very high no matter what we do. Will it ultimately need to be restored? Joe's the expert, obviously, behind me, but I can almost guarantee he's going to tell you yes. Eventually, it will need to be restored. We don't know what those costs are, though, of course, yet, because we won't look at that until we get to that time.
We're not going
to
go out for bid on an actual full restoration, which would probably involve doing something to remove, remediate fully the toxic paint, right? That's the issue. So Joe Cook, you know, that's Public Works Director, is saying, you know, we're going to have to do that at some point. When, how much? Well, you know, until we know what's going to happen with the plane, doesn't make any sense to do that now if we're going to ship that plane over to Foley. Because, by the way, Foley wants it. Foley wants that plane because they are an outlying landing field, so they were, or a training facility, so they want that for their own purposes.
So just real quick, just to tie into that, when I worked down at Kennedy, we did a restoration of a T-38 trainer that the astronauts fly. It was over $1.5 million for that airplane. So restoring airplanes is not cheap. So, and these are ones that don't fly. They don't have an engine in them. They don't fly.
I know this. My husband works at Whiting. Has been out there 21 years and was in the Navy for 21 years. So I get it. I understand all that.
Pretty planes on pegs are not cheap. That's exactly right.
The T-57 Charlie, which is the final aircraft of the Sea Rangers, is being transferred out of service, and the T-57 or the T-73 is currently what is flying over our heads now. So the 57 Charlie is what has been offered up to the city of Milton to be received. There is one final aircraft. The city made an offer to accept the aircraft. It was accepted by the Naval Aviation Museum and AAS Whiting Field. That aircraft at this point in time is prepared for transfer. They're doing a final review of the aircraft, and obviously they have to do the serial number transfers to make sure it's all prepared. That'll go through Naval Aviation once they give the clear. Then it comes back to the city of Milton to prepare for what that looks like.
So Whiting transfers it to the Naval Aviation Museum, not in terms of position, but in terms of ownership. And then so they get to dispose of it where they want to, you know, put it. They, the city of Milton has accepted the plane. So it's coming to the helicopter, it's coming to them. Whether the other one goes to Foley is up to the Naval Aviation Museum as well. But all the sort of boxes have been checked. It's just a question of what city of Milton wants to do with it. And it is ready to come, the helicopter anyway.
I think the city of Foley, Alabama, is trying to create a museum for airplanes. And Foley, I believe, is one of the landing fields that was used for the aircraft when they were training, and that's why they're trying to get this one there. And they're willing to pay the restoration costs that we would have to pay otherwise.
Okay. And just a slight addition there, the Navy will make, or the museum will make the decision where it goes ultimately.
Yeah, Ed Spear is just reminding everybody that, you know, the museum is really in charge of all these things. And, it, you know, this is something that if you've listened to the show for a long time, you probably remember this. But maybe you're new to the show. Welcome. Good to have you. Or you just don't remember. But the planes you see on display, if they're Navy planes, they're owned by the National Naval Aviation Museum. So, you know, the Blue Angels planes, for example, that you see on I-10 going east, you know, in Santa Rosa County, that the rest stop, the museum owns that. The one at the Welcome Center going east on 10 on, you know, over by the border with Alabama, the Navy owns that one. The, you know, anywhere you see, like a lot of them are painted like Blue Angels, obviously here locally, they belong to the museum. Now, other planes, and I, you know what, I ought to ask because I don't know the answer to this. Like, I don't know who owns, I assume that the Navy Museum, Naval Aviation Museum owns the Cobra. And I think they would own the Phantom also because I think it was being restored there. It's kind of an odd one because the Phantom's not really a Navy plane, but still, you know, the Army one that the, if we ever get the Chappie James Memorial built, that it'll be there. And I would, you know, there are other planes around that are owned by other people. If you ever drive on, 87, I think? Yeah, no, that's wrong. The Eglin Parkway, if you drive over by Eglin and you see the Armaments Museum. All the planes out front there, they don't belong to the Navy. They're Air Force planes. At least I assume they are because it's a whole different set of planes, right? It's a B-52 and a F-15 and, you know, stuff that the Navy doesn't really fly. So anyway, Sherry Sebastio says, you're asking us to vote on which option we like best. How can we possibly pick which option we like best if we don't know the cost? Because if keeping the T-28 plane in front of Milton High School, I mean, for free, that's what we like. For $40 million? No. So you've got to inform the public more. Don't just give me a preference list because it might be that the cost of keeping that plane is $1 million. I'm like, I like it, but not for that much, you know? And like, John, you're a city of Milton resident.
Right.
Presumably there's a cost threshold at which even keeping that plane and putting the helicopter somewhere else isn't appealing to you because, you know, I love it, but I don't love it at that price, right?
Right.
So she's saying, tell us the numbers as part of this survey so that we can make an informed, educated decision as residents, what we really want, not just what we wish we could afford.
The reason I came to and asked these questions was because that survey came out. And me, I'm not going to answer that survey until I know these kind of questions. So it makes right. It's kind of like people need to know these answers before right. They can answer a survey on which one they prefer, because I want to know where the money is, where it's coming from, where it's going, and that's the reason for the question.
And that's a great request. And I'll be honest, when I first saw the survey come out on Facebook for the city of Milton, I was just like, okay, cool, letting people kind of have their input. And then Sherry says, yeah, but what's the cost? I'm like, oh, yeah, I should have thought of that. It's a good point. Because you don't think it's going to be $1 million or anywhere in that vicinity just to keep doing what you've been doing for the last several decades. I mean, that plane's been there since 1976. It was put up as part of the bicentennial. So it's literally been there for 50 years. You know, how can it be there for 50 years and all of a sudden it's going to cost us, you know, a half to $1 million to restore? Well, because that's how things work. You know, you don't have to restore the house. You don't have to restore the house. You don't. No, you got to restore the house. Crap. Not on my watch. You know, right? That kind of thing. So it's kind of understandable. Stephen Prestesator again. It's the good news is that the new helicopter, well, not new, the middle, if you want to think of it, the Sea Ranger that's, you know, was a trainer at Whiting and is now destined to come to Milton, it has been already received by Milton in title, not necessarily in physicality.
Aircraft at this point in time has been offered up for a sponsorship from Leonardo Aviation. They will paint and take care of the aircraft and prepare it for its final destination, which will ultimately be a platform, which we would hope to be in the city of Milton. So it would be at no cost to the city.
So that's kind of good. I mean, he might not be saying that Leonardo is going to pay for every cost associated with that. That would be nice if that's true. But obviously, you're going to build a little bit different platform for a helicopter than you use for a plane. And if you're going to do it at a second location, it's going to be a whole second thing. That's going to require site work, engineering, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, if Leonardo's footing the whole bill, that's great. Leonardo's a helicopter company that makes the new TH-73 helicopter. So cool. Nice of them to donate their money for that. So we'll see what's going to happen, but I just wanted to kind of let you know that's where it stands at the moment. 521 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are thinking about buying a home, selling a home, doing both, buying a, I don't know, vacation rental, you know, or a long-term rental, or you want to, you know, get something that's sort of not in the best condition, you want to fix it and flip it and whatever, or you just want to move, you know, you're getting a family growing, so you want to buy your first home, or you want to buy your third home, or you want to downsize because you're empty nesting, or you've always wanted to live at the beach, or you've always wanted to live in the country, whatever the case may be. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty, they can help with that. They sold 209 homes last year, 209, four a week on average. That means a lot of experience in a market where a lot of people are struggling to get deals, not, I mean, to just get them done or to get them at all. You know, she took over one listing and there's just, she has all these stories like this where she took over a listing from somebody who was, I think it was in Navarre, and the realtor who had had it before and couldn't get it sold at $499 said, you'll never get it sold. You know, it's just, people don't want it. And she's like, okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and raise the price, which is, you don't usually think that's the solution, but she did. She raised the price to $625 and it sold within 10 days for cash. Like, how is that possible? Because you got to know the market. And you got to know what the market's doing right now, not what the market was doing a month ago or 6 months ago or a year ago. You got to know what it's doing right now. And they do, as it shows from all of those transactions that they close. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty.
Man, I love this place. I've been surfing here since I was a kid. Now, seeing my grandson out on the water, it means everything to me. Watching him and taking in the blue waves, the sea breeze, the blurry horizon?
If you have geographic atrophy, or GA, subtle changes in vision could mean it's progressing toward irreversible vision loss. Izervay is proven to slow GA progression and could help preserve your vision for longer, so you may keep seeing the world around you. Izervay, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is an eye injection. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may cause blood in the white of the eye, blurred vision, or a temporary increase in eye pressure. Do not drive or use machinery until vision has recovered after an eye injection or exam. Ask your retina specialist how you can slow your GA with Izervay. To learn more, call 1-855-IZERVAY or go to izervay.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
So what did I miss today?
Good question.
I'm Andrew McKay.
Chris Bryan.
Austin Price.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Well, there you have it.
You've got mail.
Good morning, 525 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. The news out of American Magic is really cool. Did you see this story that the sort of next generation or first generation of sea drones that the Navy is going to be acquiring is going to be in part manufactured right here? Pretty quick payoff for the manufacturing facility that American Magic has. This is the Sail Drone is the company. It's called the Spectre. And it's an unmanned surface vehicle. USV is what they're calling it. There's a lot of acronyms you have to learn in this world. And so you have it's a 170-foot long drone, surface drone. It weighs 250 tons. So we're not thinking about your little, like, personal watercraft. I mean, this is a big boat, okay? 170 feet long. I mean, you know, like an aircraft carrier is, what, 1,200 feet long? So it's pushing a sixth of an aircraft carrier, a seventh of an aircraft carrier. It's big, 170 feet. That's a big yacht.
Drone.
That's a yacht.
Yeah.
I mean, because sometimes, you know, we hear about, like, well, there's a drone, and they shot down, and that drone was a, you know, $250 million drone. You think, well, a Predator cannot possibly be a quarter of, no, but have you seen these things? They look like a 747 in the air. They're huge. Okay. You remember when Iran shot one of our drones down a couple years ago? That was one of those drones. Okay. So this is on the surface that it's going to go, and it's 170 feet, which is enormous. And it'll either tow radar. Okay. So it's got to be able to go slow and quiet. It also different there, and there's different configurations of this thing, but the primary configuration is apparently going to hold these 40-foot modular, basically, rocket boxes, like it'll hold Tomahawks, you know, which are missiles. But it pops up and it shoots these missiles at targets, particularly anti-submarine are the targets. So it's got this towed sonar array. It's got a lot of different things that it can use. And it's interesting to me because what we're manufacturing here, like the main... the body of the drone is not going to be built here. It's going to be built by Fincantieri, I think is how you say the name. This Italian manufacturer, but you know, like Leonardo, but they're based in Wisconsin, if I remember correctly. Anyway, we're going to build what they're calling the wing, which I have tried hard to make sure and get this, and I didn't get in contact with any of the folks at you know, American Magic, maybe I should have, but there's a giant composite wing that sticks out the top that's 140 feet tall. That serves as I can't tell if it's a sail or if it's a steering device or if it's both, but it seems to be kind of both. And we're going to make that here. This composite fixed material sail that sticks up out of the top so that this drone can, you know, be propelled and to steer. It's got a diesel engine, it's got electric engine, and what I'm assuming is some element of wind power. It can go low and slow so that the submarines don't know that it's there, is kind of the idea. Or it can go fast up to, you know, 27 knots with full payload. So it's pretty wild that eventually in a couple of years, that's scheduled for sea trials in early 2027, that eventually it's going to, you know, we're going to deploy this fleet or the few and then eventually a fleet of these surface drones. So that's part of the future of warfare, as we have all seen this coming, especially since the Ukraine war. 437-1620. Ah, the tariff refund portal.
Yes.
$170 billion available through the tariff refund portal.
Did you sign up yesterday?
No, I didn't. I didn't pay any tariffs.
Well, indirectly.
No, I mean, no. You got to be a direct.
Oh, you got to be a direct.
To show me where they touched you on the... No, it doesn't work that way. You know, they touched us all over the place in the things that we paid. But, you know, if you're not an importer, you don't get to file for a refund. Would it surprise you to know that the website did not function perfectly on the first day of operation? It's everybody scrambling to get... I want my $1 billion. Understandably.
Surprised it didn't crash.
Well, I think it's who you asked whether it crashed or whether it didn't function well. I would say that it... I just don't want to say something that's not quite true, but it seemed to me like it crashed when it's getting a service not available.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's not functioning. So I was thinking to myself, like, if you know this thing launches yesterday, do you go file yesterday or do you think, you know, I'm not going to Costco on the first day it opens. I'm going to go to Costco a week later when they've worked out the bugs a little bit. And, you know, traffic, congestion, craziness, people being what they are. I'm more of the like wait and let everybody else do my beta testing for me. But I get it because presumably two things. One is, you know, who knows what the website doesn't, you know, they go, it goes away for a while. You know, who knows? Also, if you're earliest, then you're earliest in line, one would presume. And when you're talking about the level of money, a day of interest is a day of interest, you know? So I get why people were trying to file their, and they've been preparing this for months. I get why people were trying it yesterday, but yeah, it didn't work so great for everybody who was hoping to. Oh, the Warthog, the A10. Service life extended another till 2030.
Woohoo!
No, it's weird. We discovered that a plane that everybody loves, that has a multitude of uses that you almost just cannot destroy out of the air. Weird that we ought to keep it because we have ways to use it. Yeah, stop trying to get rid of it.
Fox News. I'm CJ Papa. Security very tight in Pakistan, but will the Islamic Republic give peace a chance?
So Iranian state media this morning saying that no delegation from Iran has visited Pakistan, and it comes after what we've seen in the last several days, Iran saying that they might not even show up. Right now, preparations are underway for these high-stakes new rounds of talks. Vice President J.D. Vance is set to lead the American delegation.
Fox's Alex Hogan in Washington. Voting underway. Commonwealth Virginia on the table, changing voting maps that could shortly favor Democrats.
Already, more than a million people, 1.3 million Virginians, have cast their ballot. Right now, 11 congressional districts with Democrats controlling six. Democrats would gain a 10-to-1 advantage in House seats.
That's if the Democrats prevail. That's Fox's Mark Meredith reporting. The polls close at 7 p.m. Eastern. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. 53 degrees right now. We've got clear skies here across the area. We're going to get to a full forecast with Brooke Richardson. That's up in just a few minutes. A cantonment man will spend 15 years in prison for the 2024 accidental shooting death of a 16-year-old at a house party on Wishbone Road. A judge sentenced 21-year-old Ethan O'Brien last week after a jury convicted him of manslaughter with a firearm back in February. O'Brien was 19 when he pulled out an AR-style rifle at a party and accidentally fired it, striking Bryson Allen in the chest. O'Brien fled the scene. He'll serve 15 years of probation after his release and received credit for more than 2 years that he's already served. A vehicle and a body were pulled from a pond in Fairhope yesterday in connection with a missing persons report. Fairhope police say a nearby resident was reported missing on Sunday. A follow-up investigation led officers to find a submerged vehicle in a neighborhood pond off Falling Waters Boulevard near Highway 181. An underwater recovery team confirmed that discovery. The investigation into that is ongoing. Well, the American Magic's manufacturing facility at their new performance center in Pensacola has landed a major contract with one of the world's leading autonomous naval vessel makers. American Magic Services has been chosen to manufacture the wings for sail drones, newly unveiled Spectre, a 170-foot unmanned warship designed for anti-submarine warfare and strike missions.
For us to be able to reconnect with them and get involved with their project and to then bring it to Pensacola, I think is amazing for the team. And we feel very fortunate to be based here, and we want to be a good partner to this community.
That is American Magic COO Tyson Lamond. Now, they are American Magic Services is based at the High Performance Center at the Port of Pensacola. They expect to produce up to 5 of those Spectre wings per year. The first Spectre vessel is expected to undergo sea trials by early 2027. Well, changes are happening on the Pensacola Beach shoreline. This story from News Radio's Chris Bryan. He says it's an effort to make the beach stronger.
Dredging's getting underway on Casino Beach. The $35 million project on the island stretches from Park East to Park West near Fort Pickens. The 8.1-mile stretch is putting more than 1.5 million cubic yards of fresh sand along the island's shoreline. Channel 3 is reporting environmental protections remain in place, including safety screens and a turtle watch aboard the dredge vessels. Work is expected to be completed by the beginning of May. Chris Bryan, News Radio, 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. And right now we've got 534 here at News Radio, 92.3. It is 52 degrees. Your next news in 30 minutes. Let's check in with Brooke Richardson and get our weather.
We will be looking at a beautiful day today. Temperatures warming up near 79 degrees for your high, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 60 degrees. For Wednesday, mostly sunny skies with a small chance of a stray sprinkle in the afternoon. 10% chance of rain, high near 79 degrees. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 63. Heading into Thursday, mostly sunny skies with a high near 79 degrees and a 10% chance of rain. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEARTV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. Again, 52 clear skies. Your next news in 30 minutes. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Nicole Murray with your money now. Big changes coming to Apple. CEO Tim Cook will be stepping down to assume the role of executive chairman starting September 1st. Senior Vice President of Hardware Engineering John Ternus will become the new CEO. Marvel stocks popped 6% following reports that the firm is helping Google with two new AI chips. Top competitor Broadcom fell nearly 2% upon the news, although the Google-Broadcom partnership remains strong. Marvel also saw a $2 billion investment from NVIDIA in March as AI demand continues to surge. SpaceX is moving ahead with plans for one of the most anticipated IPOs in history as it hosts analysts this week for 3 days of closed-door meetings at its launch facility in Texas and mega-sized data center in Tennessee. Reuters reports Elon Musk's company is holding the briefings for Wall Street's top aerospace and technology analysts as it looks to raise $75 billion. Futures are slightly higher after the NASDAQ snaps its 13-day winning streak. That's your money now.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. If you believe the destination is the journey, you'll love exploring in our new 2026 Subaru models, like the all-new 2026 Outback, strikingly redesigned with sharp lines and more edge, and now with financing as low as 3.9% for an amazing 75 months. Or how about the roomy Subaru Crosstrek or the family-sized Descent? Finance either one for 2.9% for 75 months. And the long-lasting and capable Subaru Forester. Drive one home for only 1.9% for 75 months. All come standard with Subaru's legendary symmetrical all-wheel drive to help you take on every journey with confidence. The all-new 2026 Subaru Outback and the 2026 Crosstrek, Ascent, and Forester. Love is out there. Find it in a Subaru from Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
In every emergency, before help arrives on scene, a calm, steady voice is already at work. 911 dispatchers in Escambia and Santa Rosa counties are the first responders, answering calls, asking the right questions, and sending help in seconds when every moment counts. During National Public Safety Telecommunicators Week, thank these unseen heroes who work around the clock to keep our Escambia and Santa Rosa County families and neighborhoods safe.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
You don't stop needing information just because you left the car. That's why News Radio 92.3 goes with you. On your phone, on your computer, wherever you are. Stream us live or download the News Radio 92.3 app. Stay connected to local news, breaking updates, and conversations that matter, even when you're not near a radio.
And that's a good thing.
It's News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
Chicken fried and cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio.
Good morning. morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now, we have Congressman Jimmy Patronis. And by the way, I told you there would be a couple of stories coming. This is why I don't do teases, because I had mistakenly thought we were not going to be speaking to Jimmy today, but that's because apparently I cannot read a text thread properly. So that's my fault. Jimmy, welcome back, sir.
Hey, buddy. Good morning.
Hey, good to have you. So, how much of the IEEPA tariff refunds are you scheduled to get? I think it's like $170 billion that Customs and Border Protection is going to start issuing. The portal opens today, and companies that got the that paid in, you know, Costco, Target, Sam's, Amazon, all these companies that paid in billions of dollars are going to start getting their money back. A tenth of the GDP of Florida is going to swing back to private hands after this.
You know, that really gets under my skin. I think Trump was in the right place. There was things he was doing with tariffs. He was stopping wars. He was leveraging countries where he didn't want to start a war, where they were having bad behavior. And then this comes out. And you know, there's no way that these CEOs are going to get these enormous kickbacks from the federal government, who passed all these additional expenses to the consumer, are going to do any type of return. What I'm interested in, Andrew, is when it comes time to bonus time, I think we'll create a website, CEOBonusesFromTariffs.com, because I'm going to see how many of these companies, they give massive bonuses to their CEOs when they had nothing to do with the increased revenues, but based on the tariffs that they increased their prices with anyway.
Absolutely. I mean, I know, you know, the justification for a lot of the product cost increase to the consumer was, oh, well, tariffs, you know, thank President Trump. Okay, yeah, I mean, fair, I get it. That's the nature of a tariff. It's a tax on me. You know, the importer pays it, but I ultimately pay it as the consumer. Okay, now you're getting a refund. Where's mine? You know, I want my refund.
You know, I mean, I'm sure there'll be some of these companies that will be cute, and they'll do some type of novelty consumer benefit back out. But for the most part of them, I'm just going to try, hopefully this thing goes on overdrive and some other issue flares up where this thing all gets forgotten about. So hopefully we just got to keep on stirring the pot.
You know where it strikes me this could go? And, you know, you might be in just the right position to do this because, you know, you're close to the president. Because he lost, and I actually agree with the Supreme Court. I think that what he was doing was not legal. That doesn't mean I disagree with the point, what he was trying to accomplish, but, you know, you have to do it a certain way. But, okay, he's obviously furious about being told that the IEEPA tariffs cannot hold up, and now the government is having to pay it back all this money. What if the president said, you know what, we're paying back all this money because all these companies, you know, are wanting a refund? Okay, cool. The ones who refund to the customer an appropriate level of what we're refunding to them, we're going to do business with them, or we're going to preference them or prioritize them. And the ones who don't, there's going to be problems. There's going to be hell to pay. And by the way, since we're the federal government and we are issuing the checks, we're in a position to be able to sort of monitor this a little bit, to do a little doging of our own on the tariff refunds. You know, I'm not asking him to, I don't know about enforcement exactly, but it seems like something in this direction, somebody fairly clever could come up with a way to make sure that the end American and not the CEO and the dividend shareholders are the ones who get the money.
Well, at the end of the day, the federal government, our United States military, all of our federal agencies, they buy from the retailers also. You can't run the federal government without the consumables and the things that we still have to buy off the shelf to do our day-to-day business.
Oh, so, no, that's a good point. I mean, the government has had to spend extra money because of the tariffs too on the purchasing side. You're right.
Oh yeah. I mean, so it's just, I don't know. Guys, you really learned how to get me going without coffee today. Thank you.
Well, time to go. I have not been following this story all that closely, so I know you have been and care quite a bit about it. What is the connection between the FSU shooter and the ChatGPT? What happened here?
Yeah, so now this shooter used ChatGPT in order to kind of lay out his murder plan. And so now this guy's not been convicted, but he's been caught. He's in a jail. These are now coming out through discovery. So like some of the questions he asked ChatGPT, he asked all types of crazy stuff like anybody else who was a, you know, psychopath, you know, having a friend with a android robot would have. But one of them, yes, he goes, when you have a Glock pistol, does it have a safety? It says, no, a Glock, you just point and shoot. That's where it goes. And then he's asking a follow-up question. What are the busiest times at FSU Student Union where there's the most people? You know, so then he's built out this whole series of questions that were used in the day of the shooting. So, I mean, this is concerning. This gets back to, you know, Section 230 with me, and big tech has got to be responsible, you know. I know this guy was an adult. You know, I care more about the kid side of things, but here's a specific wherewithal where Section 230 protects in place, there'd be probably two more people still alive.
I mean, if, you know, at a certain point, if you asked a human, help me do a more efficient mass shooting, and the human gave you actionable advice like floor plans and people and where the cameras are and what to do and what to avoid, I mean, that person gets tried as at least an accomplice, you know? So
Absolutely. And so then, and if you, if I ask you these same questions, you probably say something's up with Jimmy.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to go give his mom or dad a call, or I'm going to give, you know, a family member, or maybe his boss call, maybe even law enforcement. But you would probably call somebody that was a degree of separation out of abundance of concern. Even she could text.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, none of that was done because of Section 230 law protections that are imposed upon these social media companies.
You know, and it's an interesting, there's a whole separate question. I guess I'd never thought much about it, but you know, if you say some things in front of a mandatory reporting person, they have to call the authorities. And, you know, if you're asking for advice from these companies about, or from this tool, you know, how to do crimes, you know, why isn't that some kind of a reporting situation? I don't know the answer. I haven't thought a lot about that, but that it raises that question for sure. Like, I know, you know, First Amendment protections are probably going to be prohibitive on something like what I was just talking about, but still it's worth thinking about at least a little bit if we can, you know, do something more, especially because these tools are so dangerous and so, you know, powerful. You were at the East Milton Wastewater Treatment Plant ribbon cutting for Santa Rosa County the other day. What was the nature of your presence there?
Yeah, so I tell you, Santa Rosa County, it's exciting what they've got going on in their industrial park. Shannon, the county commission over there, has done a great job, whether it be Buffalo Rock or the ice cream companies, the different folks that have been able to bring into that market. And so part of the need when you've got an industrial park is you've got to have adequate wastewater. You know, manufacturing consumes lots of water, and sometimes it spins off lots of wastewater.
Yeah.
So this is the first time that the county has endeavored into a utility type of service for constituents there. So, I mean, it's one of those things. It's not sexy, but if you want jobs, you got to have it. You've got to have the infrastructure. And so I got to be, it was an honor for me. I was there at the groundbreaking, and, you know, we're going to really see even more good things out of Santa Rosa County. And it's just like, it was so appropriate. You know, John's tease just before was for economic development of Escambia County. You've always got to have an arm of your county out there selling what your county has got. If you want good jobs, you want higher paying jobs, if you want diversity in your economy. And that's exactly what they're doing in Santa Rosa with that package plant.
It's funny, the things you think are interesting as a kid and the things you think are interesting as an adult, once you realize how the world works, and, you know, potholes,
yeah,
and sewage,
right,
and electricity and infrastructure and road capacity. I mean, these are big things.
Stormwater.
Yeah, exactly. Stormwater. No doubt. TSA, this story, how are we still not paying? What in the world? This is ridiculous.
So there's only a limited amount of money that the administration's got to rob from Peter to pay Paul to make these things work. There has been a couple rounds of back. There has been significant back pay that the TSA agents have gotten.
Okay.
But this, you know, this is unfortunately the Democrats at some point, hopefully they get bored with themselves on this issue and they find something else they want to do. But I'm telling you, this boils down to politics. They're able to take the ICE issue and they fundraise off of it. That's all they do. They take it, they put it in an email, they put it in a text message. It's their sound bites at the political rallies. It it does very well with their voting base, so they do this in order to have war paint on their face, in order to get a rise out of their supporters. It's horrible. It's gross. But this is politics at its worst.
Eric Swalwell is out. Good. I'm glad there's swift accountability. You had Gonzalez, I think, is also out. Of course, the question that people are asking is, well, did nobody know? Did nobody have any idea? Is there any real accountability in Congress for bad actors, of which I feel fairly confident in saying those aren't the only two?
Yeah, where it boils down with the case of Swalwell were the things in his case, he was going to be eaten alive outside. He's going to by the court system and by his accusers and maybe go to jail. In the case, we'll take Swalwell for example. He was going to be dragged into a committee, the ethics committee, and the questions were not going to be pleasant. So you know what this guy does? You know what? I'm going to get that off my schedule, and I'm going to drop the heck out of Congress. So, you know, these guys, they're feeling the heat outside of the chamber, which they'll deal in the court system, which is not as public as being on national TV with cameras pointing at you, having difficult questions asked about whatever you did outside of the congressional process. So again, this is a decision that he and his attorneys made to get out of Congress. So it's just less bloodletting. Same thing with Gonzalez. You know, there's others in the pipeline with what's her face? I don't even remember her name yet. From South Florida, who stole $5 million from FEMA.
Mm-hmm.
The ethics committee has investigated. It is found that she brought her up on multiple charges. She'll be gone soon enough, and she will no longer be dealing with the prosecution in Congress. She'll be dealing with the prosecution in the federal court system outside of the process.
You know, it's interesting, too, because you have, as we've talked about many times, it's such a razor-thin margin in Congress right now. And, you know, with Swalwell out and others, you know, you had an impeachment vote that failed by a vote. Literally one vote one way or the other. What was it, I think, 213 to 214? You know, that's, whew.
Well, there's a lot of dumb people. Congress is just like, you know, your group at work or your group at church or your group at school or your group in your
don't
your
insult
club.
My church and my workplace like that. How dare you, sir?
It's the rule of numbers. 10% of them are knuckleheads. You know, they do stupid stuff, and you know, it catches up with you. If you play stupid games, you're gonna win stupid prizes.
I still think our congressman just said my church is as dumb as Congress. How dare you?
There are people at church you don't talk to.
Oh no, no, you're right. You're right. That's true. Last thing. Strait of Hormuz, it's open, it's closed, it's, what do you have? I mean, the ceasefire is supposed to end on Wednesday. What do you think is happening? What do you think is going to happen here?
I think the Navy's putting holes in boats.
Yeah, that's true.
There was multiple ample warnings for them to stop, and they tried to get by, and you know, the Navy punched them in the nose. So, speaking of the Navy, NAS Pensacola celebrated their 200th birthday this week.
That's right.
Kind of
you're right. Yeah. I think Chandra Newman, Captain Chandra Newman had put out a video on that, and I completely forgot about it. All part of our leading up to the Navy Days, you know, celebration coming up next month. But yeah, you're right. The 200th anniversary for NAS Pensacola, pretty significant, right?
Yeah. They've got a whole new patch for this year, and she texted me a photo of it the other day. And anyway, so honored to be able to have that in our backyard.
No, it's fantastic.
We all should be celebrating that.
Jimmy Petronas, he is our congressman for Florida District 1. Jimmy, as always, thank you for the time, sir, and we'll talk to you again next week.
See you next week, bud. Take care.
Absolutely. By the way, a couple of notes. One is the Department of War has been putting out video of the encounter between the Spruance and this ship. And this is how the warning sounded. No, turn my computer on, John.
Emergency 96 warship 115. You are entering an area of a military blockade. This blockade of Iranian ports will be enforced and applies to all vessels regardless of flag. Any vessel that further intends to enter or exit an Iranian port will be subject to the right of visit and search in accordance with international law. If you attempt to run the blockade, we will compel compliance with force. Over.
So this was the warning. And by the way, they identify as warship 115, and that would have been the Rafael Peralta, another Arleigh Burke-class destroyer. So, I hear what he said, and then everybody else is reporting that it's the Spruan, so I don't want to say it's wrong, but I just don't know which of those two it really is. But again, most of the reporting is saying it's the Spruan. But then came the time for the shots to be fired, which was not like sending a Tomahawk missile or something. This was just, using the gun.
Motor vessel Tosca, vacate your engine room. Vacate your engine room. We're prepared to subject you to disabling fire.
And that worked.
It's amazing,
that
man.
It did work. So one other thing from the interview that is worth mentioning is the Section 230 protections for the AI. I was thinking about it last night. Section 230 protects them as bulletin board systems, as hosts of material that they do not author. Like when I put something up, Facebook is not liable for that. And that's the Section 230. Literally, that's what it does. But what if their own AI produces the content? Then they are the author. You would think Section 230 does not protect that, although it's also not even hosted. It's just given to you personally. And that's why I was talking about that, mandatory reporting. If you ask the AI to help you do something illegal, should that have to be reported somehow or other? Anyway, I'm not sure how Section 230 would interact with your conversations with ChatGPT, because that's not even hosted in the same way. So we'll see. Some nuance to be figured out there. Hey, if you are thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality used cars, about 300 on the lot. They sell about half of those every month, so the selection changes, literally week by week. So they're getting 150 new cars in, and they're selling 150 cars. Those are relatively new, but not brand new. You're going to be the second owner, maybe the third owner. It's going to have 10 or 30,000 miles on it, be 1 to 3 years young, something like that. And then they're going to warranty it to 100,000 miles or 10 years, whatever comes first. And they're going to take care of you because, first of all, if you know you've got to take care of people in case they have a problem, what do you do? Well, you try to get them cars that you won't have to take care of because they're going to be in good condition. It's sort of natural and obvious. But that's the whole idea, is you go there to buy the almost new car for a great price. If they have what you want, when you look, you could buy it. If they have what you want and it's close, you can send them looking for it. They go look for people for cars all the time. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Businesses come in all shapes and sizes. Integrity doesn't. For more than a century, the Better Business Bureau has set the standards for how businesses should operate honestly and ethically. So when you're looking for a business you can trust, check to see who's BBB accredited and who isn't. Always choose the better business. Look for the BBB seal, because it's looking out for you. That's why it's the sign of a better business. And find a better business anytime at BBB.org.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out how this Thursday morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this Thursday morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You recognize the smell of marijuana, but it's not just a smell. It's a warning. If you can smell it, harmful chemicals are entering your lungs, bloodstream, and brain, and our children too. Every inhale affects brain development and triples the risk of serious respiratory issues. Protect your kids and grandkids from the dangers of marijuana. Their future is on the line. This message is sponsored by the Department of Children and Families and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
You're not looking for an argument. You just want to know what's going on.
And that's a good thing.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
You're hit. You're bleeding, man.
I ain't got time to bleed.
Oh, Jesse. As great of a wrestler and actor and as ungreat of a governor as he was. He dug in worse than an Alabama tick. Oh, man, that's good stuff. All right. 559 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Very interesting. Consumer Reports has said that Maryland has now introduced or actually passed a bill that they think is a little watered down. But you know how there's that flex personal pricing that places are doing now with the little digital price tag where they can tell that your phone is standing in front of that item and they'll change the price because they think you'll pay more for it? It's more common online, like Instacart got caught doing this. The bill is supposed to prevent that. Time will tell whether that actually happens or whether we're going to be paying more based on who we are.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3.